to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for joining us this week. In this episode, Forefront Betas, Portable PCs Take the Stage, and a Microsoft executive says that market for Windows 7 will be pretty tough. Also, Google's Exchange Killer. That and more when we return after this break here on Redmond Radio. Welcome to Redmond Radio. Thanks for joining us this week. Before we get to the news, I'd like to talk about a couple things that are on my mind. One of them is the salary survey. If you're an MCP, or if you're an IT person, been working with Microsoft tools for quite a while, take our salary survey. Let's get our 14th year, and one of the questions I always wonder as I'm like trudging through the numbers, one of the things I always think about is, gee, how relevant is this salary survey? Year after year, we bring out these numbers, and we, 14 years ago, we got a lot of feedback because it was one of the first surveys, and Microsoft's program was growing at the time. And over the years, you know, as Microsoft's program got bigger and bigger, we got a lot more feedback. But, you know, in the last, I would say about the last 7 years or so, it seems like we're getting less and less feedback. The survey does continue to be the largest story on our websites. If you ever did a Google search of our salary survey, if you actually did salary survey, what you would see is our story would be number 4 or among the top 10 in most search engines. So it's still a hot story. We still get a lot of clicks to it. But as far as relevance, does it have any? You know, you can go to sites like salary.com or, Computer World has its own IT surveys, and a lot of the other IT sites do the same thing. But specifically for us, ours is, you know, MCP related, but does it have any relevance anymore? As Microsoft's program kind of has flattened out, you tell me. I would love to hear from you. Just give me a call at 949-265-1564 and leave a message. Or you can send me an email, and I'll read your email over the air. One of the things I like to do about the with the phone calls, though, is I like to stream the messages on and into the recording, and that way you can make a shout out to somebody. And you're welcome to do that anytime. So, anyways, my number is 949-265-1564, and just leave a message, and I would love to hear from you, especially if you are a faithful listener of the show. That's usually, I mean, let's give a platform to the people who actually listen to the show on a regular basis. Hey, you know what? If I have regular callers every week, that'd be awesome. Another issue, Cox Cable. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I'm getting bandwidth issues. I have bandwidth issues in a big way, and I'm wondering if anyone else is experiencing that who actually uses Cox Cable's modems. I'm not sure what it is, but in the last month or so, my bandwidth has been down to like 1,100th megabits per second, which is what? Like 1,000K. And it's just bugging the heck out of me. And I don't know if it's my modem or what, but nothing has really changed in the way I've been using my service. In fact, I've been actually using it less, and I wonder if maybe I've been, they've been reducing my bandwidth. I do use it for photos for my wedding photography site. But other than that, I don't use it that often except for creating these newsletters and these podcasts. So, anyways, I wonder if anyone else has experienced any bandwidth issues, maybe with their own ISP. So, give me a call back, 949-265-1564. And if you have any other issues you'd like to talk about or have me discuss on the air, that'd be great. All right, now that we got that out of the way, how about some news from MCP Magazine? First up, Microsoft is releasing new betas of Forefront Enterprise Security products, according to announcements issued last week. The new Forefront Threat Management Gateway Beta 3 and Forefront Online Security for Exchange released 9.1 provide key enhancements for web security, according to Microsoft's team blogs. TMG Beta 3 includes URL filtering capabilities using Microsoft Reputation Services, according to the Forefront team blog. The service aggregates URLs from multiple Microsoft trusted sources such as San Diego-based BrightCloud, iFilter, and Marshall 8E6, and it's a way to avoid websites infected with downloadable malware, which is the most common means of distributing malicious software. Beta 2 of TMG was downloaded and tested by more than 11,000 users, according to Microsoft's team blog. Beta 3 is now what they're calling feature complete and available for public download. In a separate announcement, Microsoft rolled out the latest version of Forefront Online Security for Exchange, also known as FOSSI, which is a subscription-based service that provides an internet front end to an organization's internal email system, according to Don Redlach, security analyst at Directions on Microsoft. The latest version of FOSI contains enhancements to the directory synchronization tool and improvements to the administration center and spam quarantine functionality. Microsoft is also readying a public beta release of Forefront Unified Access Gateway, which is expected in a couple of weeks. The Unified Access Gateway supports security for remote network access and was previously known as Microsoft's Intelligent Access Gateway. That's now folded into the Forefront line and addresses the same scenarios as IAG. Speaking of security, a setting in Internet Explorer 7 running on Windows Vista can help stave off a particular remote code execution attack, according to Microsoft's security team. The setting, which is called Protected Mode IE, runs IE 7 with lower privileges. It thwarts a vulnerability outlined in Microsoft's MS-09019 security bulletin, which was issued last week as part of Redmond's June security patch. Microsoft's security team outlined what IT pros should check in a blog post posted on Tuesday. To avoid potential attacks, i.e. privileges at the highest level should be restricted in the browser. Such browser security is only enabled with the user account control setting turned on. If either UAC or Protected Mode IE is turned off, the system could be vulnerable, explained the security team. Right now, Protected Mode IE only applies to IE 7 on Windows Vista, but it's likely it will be continued as a feature in IE 8 for Windows 7. Even with Protected Mode IE, Microsoft recommends applying the MS-09019 patch. Continuing along the security theme, Microsoft's June security bulletin rolled out last week contains 10 patches, 6 of them critical, 3 important, and 1 moderate. This patch aims to fix more than 31 vulnerabilities, which edges out Microsoft's December 2008 patch, which came close with 28 bugs to fix. Overall, the fixes include 6 for Windows, with a large cumulative patch for Internet Explorer and 3 for Microsoft Office. Remote code execution exploits are the order of the day for all the critical items. Other problems addressed in the patch include elevation of privilege and information disclosure considerations. The first critical item patches 2 vulnerabilities mainly involving Active Directory on Windows 2000 Server and Windows Server 2003, as well as Active Directory Application Mode. This fix covers Windows 2000, XP, and Windows Server 2008 operating systems. Critical patch number 2 is an issue that is patched periodically involving commands to the printer spool function in the Windows OS. According to the patch abstract, the bugs involved could kick off RCE exploits if an affected server receives a specially crafted remote procedure call to the printer spool. All supported Windows versions are covered in this fix. In addition to applying the patch, Microsoft says that firewall best practices and standard default firewall configurations can help protect networks from attacks. The third critical bulletin is a cumulative patch covering IE 6, 7, and 8. The patch addresses 7 vulnerabilities, making this one of the focal points of this month's rollout, given the rise in browser-based exploits and hacks. The fourth critical item on the slate is designed to stave off 2 known vulnerabilities and covers a wide swath of Word versions and components: Office 2000 Service Pack 3, Office XP SP3, and 2007 Microsoft Office System SP1 and SP2 are covered in this fix. Other applications covered include Office 2004 and 2006 for Mac, OpenXML File Format Converter for Mac, and Office Word Viewer and Office Compatibility Pack for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint 2007 file formats. The same can be said for the cumulative Excel patch, which is the fifth critical bulletin. The problems to be fixed appear widespread. Redmond would only say several vulnerabilities and didn't pin down a specific number of bugs to be fixed. The only difference from an Office components perspective between this patch and the Word patch is that the Excel hotfix will also cover Office Excel Viewer and Office SharePoint Server 2007 SP1 and 2. The sixth and final critical item is a cumulative hotfix for Works converters. Specifically, it's designed to stave off bugs that may pop up in any Works files that are loaded, opened, and created on a workstation. The patch touches Office 2000, 2002, 2003, and 2007. Works 8.5 and 9.0 versions are also covered. Let's move on to some other news. Google just made it easier for IT organizations to ditch Exchange Server. Last Tuesday, the company unveiled Google Apps Sync for Microsoft Outlook. With Google Apps Sync, users don't have to switch from the familiar Outlook interface for calendar, contacts, and email functions. They can continue to use Outlook while connecting directly to Google's servers. That means it eliminates the need for an Exchange mail server to be in the loop. The Google Enterprise blog posted a video comment by Robert Rudy, vice president and CIO of Avago Technologies, which was an early adopter of Google's synchronization technology. Rudy claims that using Google Apps Sync for Microsoft Outlook costs one-sixth of the cost of running and maintaining Exchange. He also said that it eliminates a performance hit from running the IMAP4 protocol. The sync capability is an added feature for users of Google Apps Premier or Education Editions. Google Apps is a subscription-based bundle of messaging and collaboration applications delivered as a service via Google server farms. The cost of Google Apps Premier is $50 per user per year. Google developed the synchronization feature to accommodate people who like to use Outlook's user interface. Users can also select Google's interface if they wish, but the two interfaces will sync together. For instance, Google Apps subscribers can set up an appointment using Outlook, and it will show up in a Google Apps browser-based interface, as well as an Outlook. All right, I think I'm going to mangle this name, this last name at least. In this news item, Microsoft executive Bill Kofed answered some questions about the software giant's business prospects last Wednesday at an investment firm-sponsored technology conference. Kofed, who is Microsoft's general manager of investor relations, spoke at the RBC Capital Markets 2009 Technology, Media, and Communications Conference in San Francisco. He was generally positive about Microsoft's business outlook, especially with Windows 7 scheduled to ship on October 22nd. But Kofed dampened expectations about Windows 7 boosting Microsoft's bottom line right away, saying that macroeconomics trumps all. "The current economic climate is very tough," he said, "with PC sales down 15 to 17% in the last quarter. Moreover, analyst firms have been predicting a depressed server market in the next couple of quarters going forward," he said. Even though Windows 7 will appear for the holidays, IT budgets for 2009 are fixed, he said. Quote, "As a result, I don't think you should expect to see a lot of business adoption of Windows 7, probably until calendar year 2010, end quote. Kofed refused to describe Windows 7 pricing, which hasn't been announced yet. The one bright spot for Windows sales this year has been netbooks, which are small, low-cost laptop-like devices. Initially, netbooks were viewed as a Windows killer, as all of them initially were sold running Linux. Now, Windows XP has a more than 90% attach rate globally on netbooks." He added that Microsoft sees netbooks as incremental to its markets rather than cannibalistic, meaning that people buy netbooks in addition to PCs. "All versions of Windows 7 will run well on a netbook," he said. During the conference, he talked about Microsoft's financials. He said that Microsoft's stock went up 10% after the company announced various cost-saving measures. One of those measures was an employee cutback at Microsoft. Kofed said that Microsoft was continuing to focus on efficiency with plans for vendor rationalization and offshoring. Microsoft has rationalized its capital expenditures, reducing them from $4 billion to $3.1 billion. Other efficiencies include Microsoft's data center modularization approach, and Microsoft has built out some server farm capacity in advance of its needs, but the company is moving more toward just-in-time deployments. Speaking of PC shipments, worldwide shipments of portable PCs surpassed desktop PCs in the first quarter of this year, according to an IDC report. IDC's worldwide quarterly PC tracker report pointed to a dramatic growth in netbook PC shipments for the quarter that was ahead of expectations. Netbooks have no real formal definition, but the general consensus is that they're smaller, less powerful notebook-like devices that feature internet connectivity. Total PC shipments declined by 6.8% in the first quarter of 2009, from 287.3 million to 287.2 million units. IDC defined PCs as desktop, notebook, ultra-portable, and mini notebook PC machines. But the notebook sector was ahead of expectations, with shipments of 5.7 million machines in that quarter. Netbook sales dampened traditional notebook sales, according to IDC's report. In addition, IDC predicted that netbook sales will lead to a decrease in the overall value of PC shipments. According to a press release, the growth of mini notebooks to 9.5% of total PC shipments, or 17.3% of portables in 2009, will help drive shipment value down by 17.7%, even as volumes declined just 30.2%. The 2009 first quarter worldwide PC shipment results represented the worst performance in the market since the third quarter of 2001, according to IDC. IDC's forecast, which extends to 2013, projects a steady worldwide decline in desktop PC shipments through 2010, with portable PCs showing erratic growth. In the short term, shipments of both desktop and portable PCs are expected to spike near the end of this year because of innovations such as Windows 7, combined with holiday spending. Microsoft announced that it will begin shipping Windows 7 on October 22nd, of course. I'm kind of moving around today. How about something on security? Airtight, a provider of Wi-Fi security services, recently scanned 3,632 access points and nearly 550 clients in different financial centers And they found that half of them were either open or unprotected or used wired equivalency privacy encryption. The test sites were in New York, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware, San Francisco, and London. For those who dismissed the issue as one of rogue access points or isolated consumer WPAs caught up in the airtight dragnet, 39% of so-called threat-posing APs could be classified as enterprise-grade. In many cases, Airtight reported, enterprise-grade APs that could have been configured to support the more robust Wi-Fi protected access or WPA2 protocols were instead protected with WEP. Airtight was also careful to distinguish between known or popular open APs, such as those associated with hotspots and enterprise-grade implementations. In any given financial district, 13% of mobile Wi-Fi clients are configured to operate in ad hoc mode, which makes them vulnerable to Wi-Fi phishing or honeypotting attacks. Airtight found that 61% of open access points were consumer or small office-grade devices. It doesn't strictly associate the use of these devices with home or office scenarios. However, in some cases, these devices are deployed by impatient or reckless employees. Also, Airtight reported, some enterprises seem to assume that simply obfuscating an AP service set identifier is protection enough. 79 of open APs with hidden SSIDs were powered by enterprise-grade devices. The Airtight report revealed a disappointingly low rate of WPA2 adoption, just 11%. Compare that with WEP, which is used by fully one-third of Wi-Fi networks in the surveyed financial districts. This is in spite of the fact that WPEP cracking can take less than 5 minutes, Airtight researchers cautioned. And finally, cost-cutting IT organizations may end up delaying their office upgrades, but they don't appear to be switching to alternative productivity suites, according to a Forrester Research survey. The poor economy may cause some IT organizations to delay upgrading to their current Office 2007 product and wait for Office 2010 instead. If they wait, Office 2010 is expected to be released in the first half of next year. A little over a third of respondents in Forrester's survey said that the economy had affected their plans on productivity suite deployments. Forrester polled 152 IT professionals in North America, Asia Pacific, and Europe for the survey, which was conducted back in March. Respondents mostly used Office 2003 or earlier versions at 80%, as well as Office 2007 at 57%. They also used other productivity suites such as Google Premier Apps, Sun's Star Office 8 or 9, and IBM's Lotus Symphony. However, the use of those alternative apps was at single digits. Respondents indicated why they weren't planning for a Microsoft Office upgrade. The number one reason, lack of compelling business reasons to make the change. Costs appeared to be a negligible reason, according to the survey. And believe it or not, that's this week's Redmond Radio. Thanks to all you listeners who continue to support the show by streaming and downloading this program, and especially those who pass this show on to their colleagues. I'm Michael Domingo. I'll chat with you here next week.